All right, so I think we're live. I'm Jennifer, nurse practitioner with Death Wellness, and this is Kelly. I'll let Kelly introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Kelly. I'm the board certified functional medicine health coach with Death Wellness.
So we are here today. We're going to talk to you guys about cortisol. So cortisol has been a big thing across social media, all the social media platforms, TikTok, what you can do for cortisol. And we're here to kind of maybe debunk some of that and help you really address it from a wellness approach, a functional medicine approach. So we're going to kind of dive deeper into that today. So what's cortisol? Cortisol is actually a steroid hormone. So it's a hormone, just like we know about all the other hormones in our body. Cortisol is one of them, and they all work together synergistically. So it's a steroid hormone. It's known as the body stress hormone. What that means is that's going to be what's responsible for our fight or flight. So if you're stressed, if you're wondering what's going to happen, if you're about to have a speech, something like that, that's cortisol. That's making you, you know, feel nervous. It's elevating your heart rate. And that's okay. That's what it's there for. But the problem lies in when we stay in that state all the time, chronically. So that's where we come into these chronic conditions that we're going to talk about here in a little bit. So you may have heard of the HPA axis or the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis. This is the part, the body systems together that regulate the production and secretion of cortisol. So this is responsible for mediating our stress response. Like we talked about, cortisol is also responsible for regulating metabolism. So this is an important one for a lot of my patients when we talk about weight loss and how we can achieve that, and your inflammatory response. So a lot of patients of mine have trouble healing from different chronic diseases, wounds, you know, anything. If you have this constant inflammatory response in your body, you're not going to be in your optimized state. It's also going to regulate your immune function. So if you're one of those people who's like, I'm always getting sick. Why am I always getting sick? This could be a major player. So we need to take a step back, look at what's going on, and how we can support you. So when we have a loss of the regulation of cortisol, it's going to lead to different disorders. And these are disorders that are managed in the conventional medicine world and in the functional medicine world. So it's more of a clinical approach because these patients typically present sicker. It's not just like, hey, I'm not feeling well, what's wrong? These patients might be hospitalized. It's a lot more, you're going to know something's going on when you have these disorders. So Cushing's is one of these disorders. That's when you have too much cortisol, like a lot too much, and Addison's diseases and insufficiency. So those are different regulation disorders that are out of the scope of this conversation. So we're not going to talk about those or really give advice for that. But we are going to talk about more of a lower level cortisol dysregulation. So what are the implications for general health? What do we worry about when we're talking about cortisol? What can go wrong in our body? So I think the biggest thing that a lot of people are worried about first is going to be your aesthetic complications. So that might be weight gain. That might be that swollen appearing face that we see, that moon face. You might have that stubborn belly fat you just cannot lose. So those are things that we're worried about aesthetically. It can cause difficulty losing weight. So a lot of my patients that I have on semaglutide, on the GLP-1 medications, really the biggest problem they have is cortisol dysregulation. But sometimes we need to get you started on medication as we work on these lifestyle things. And as we help with that regulation process, then it's going to be easier to lose weight because your body's no longer going to be in that fight or flight holding on to that excess weight. So the literature even tells us that there's an increased risk of cardiovascular events. So what that means is heart attacks. If your cortisol is dysregulated, there's an increased risk of stroke, diabetes, depression. So these are all chronic diseases that are rampant in the US. And so that tells us that there's an obvious problem with cortisol dysregulation in the way that we live in the culture here. So if you become our patient, what does that look like? How do we measure cortisol and the regulation of cortisol? So the gold standard for cortisol measurement is going to be a saliva test. So essentially, we send you a test kit. There's little bitty tubes. You're going to essentially spit in these tubes at different times throughout the day. It goes to the lab. It's going to be tested. And we're going to end up with this graph. So this graph is going to tell us where your cortisol is at in the morning, where it's at in the evening, where it's at in the middle of the day, and where it's at like at 3 a.m. And we're going to look at that based on a graph and a pattern and see where you're at and where we can make changes to get that to follow that slope that we want it to follow. So I get a lot of calls, and that's how I know this is popular in social media. I get a lot of calls saying, hey, what can you do about cortisol? And I think it's frustrating for patients because it's not, there's no like one fits all approach, and there's not a magic pill. There are a ton of great supplements that Kelly's going to actually recommend to you today, but that can help with it. But ultimately, lifestyle is going to be the only thing to help regulate your cortisol. So Kelly's going to go over some generalized recommendations today about how you can help support that, how you can generally be healthier. And just know, you know, if you want to dive deeper into this after the fact, reach out, and we have a lot of different options available for you. So I'm going to hand it over to Kelly to go over everything that she has to offer.
Yeah, thank you, Jennifer. Like Jennifer was saying, I think that's the important thing in functional medicine is there is not a one-size-fits-all approach. So I think that is the problem with seeing a lot of this, the cortisol coaching kind of pop up, because there is a lot of specifics. It can get really kind of intense as far as where you're at with your cortisol levels. There's different stages of adrenal kind of fatigue. So the adrenal glands being that main thing that's going to produce that cortisol, that stress hormone. So you might've heard that term a lot, like adrenal fatigue. And there's different stages of it. There's some people that are completely in that burnout stage where it's just feeling tired all day long. And there's some people in between where I think a good analogy is you can't keep withdrawing funds from this adrenal bank account without putting something back in because you'll go bankrupt. So that's kind of where I'm going to talk a little bit about kind of what can you do to kind of add back in, because it's when you get to this point where you have nothing left, where it can be kind of hard to lose weight or go into all those kinds of things that Jennifer talked about that can kind of be affected by this high state of cortisol in the body. And your body really is geared for that survival. So when you look at it as like anything that's kind of based on keeping you alive is going to be prioritized in the body. So all these other things like going into relaxation, rest and digest mode, that all gets put on the back burner because the priority is keeping you alive, right? So the first thing I'll kind of touch on, and that is very individualized, is looking at just what is the root cause of stress in your life. This is where Jennifer comes in as well, like booking a consult to kind of find out if there's something like deeper going on medically, like if there's virus that you're attacking or food sensitivities, things of that nature. But the other piece is just what's generally causing you to have a stress response. Is it work? Is it you just ruminating and creating stress over a fight that you might have had with someone? Is it looking at, you know, I'm a stressed out mom that has to do a million things a day. So there could be a number of things that are increasing your stress. And there's also this element of perceived stress, right? So even if it's something that's not stressful to someone else, if you're someone that's having this rumination where you can't go to bed at night because you're constantly stressed about something, that's going to send the same response to your body as just something simple because of the way you're ruminating on it. Because your brain is going to be communicating with your body on how to respond, it's going to be communicating that signal that you're running from a bear every time that you're having these thoughts that are just stressful. So keep that in mind when you're thinking of your mindset, like really practicing the art of gratitude on a regular basis, or being able to reframe certain thoughts, or being able to find ways where you can kind of let go, are going to be really important factors for that stress response. Because if you're constantly sending signals to your body that you're again running from that bear, then you're going to have a hard time really creating an environment where you can go into heal mode, where you can go into rest and digest, because the priority is always going to be to increase that cortisol. One kind of trick, thing that I really like to focus on for people, and again, diet's not going to be the same for everyone, but the importance of just getting a quality nutrition in. So I know fasting is always kind of a rage and people want to, you know, go into fasting modes, especially when it comes to weight loss. But you really want to look at whether or not you are a good candidate for that, because if you are someone that's in this high cortisol 24/7, then fasting might not be the best thing for you, because of the fact that naturally skipping meals is going to raise your cortisol. And when there's this relationship between blood sugar and cortisol, where naturally blood sugar gets raised when your cortisol gets raised. So when you are skipping meals and it's creating a stress response, because again, survival is priority. So your body thinks, I'm not getting food right now, I'm going to go ahead and raise my blood sugar, you know, pull it out to give myself energy to fight off whatever I'm going through. So this is where it's important to just get nourishing meals in, to keep giving your body that signal that you're safe and you're able to calm down, or you're able to be in a safe place to lose the weight. You're in a safe place to produce some of these other hormones. So the first important thing would just be breakfast. I know that's hard for people because sometimes they're so used to just not being hungry first thing in the morning. But if you can prioritize one meal a day, I would say breakfast is that meal to do, because cortisol is at its highest or naturally in the morning, because there is that natural curve, right, where it's supposed to be highest in the morning. So you want to make sure that you're getting in a good quality, high protein breakfast, mixed with fiber. That's always going to be important. Healthy fats, really looking at that. One of the cool little tools I like to do, I think this was coined by a nutritionist, but it's called the Fab Four smoothie. And that's just kind of making sure you have a protein, fat, a fiber, and a green first thing in the morning. So that's kind of almost how your plate should look, but also just accomplishing those things in a smoothie can be a real easy way to get a good quality breakfast in, especially if you're not used to creating meals or you don't have time, then that can be a simple way to do it. The other thing is just making sure not to drink coffee on an empty stomach. That's just a kind of a simple trick that you can go into, because again, coffee naturally is going to raise your cortisol. So when you're mixing high cortisol first thing in the morning with something that's going to spike your cortisol, then that is not always going to be the best thing. So maybe put something in your coffee, or maybe just eat your drink your coffee with a meal, instead of doing it first thing, can make or break the difference as far as kind of what your blood sugar is doing and how that cortisol is responding. The other thing to kind of think about adding in and maybe even replacing if you're not a coffee person is electrolytes. I think that this is a really important thing to kind of add in, because when you are in this chronic state of stress, then the first thing your body's running through is these minerals, is these things that are really going to help you fight and repair and, you know, kind of get through what you're going through. So make sure you're giving your body those nutrients to be able to fight off whatever you're going through. So those are some things to address on nutrition. Again, if you kind of want to look more into that, then I'm happy to kind of talk with anyone about kind of ways that they can add in more. But just the simple things you can do are just making sure that you're getting in that breakfast and kind of getting in those smaller meals throughout the day to kind of train your body that you are in a safe place, and that you are able to take those nutrients and be able to battle what you're going through. The next thing would be movement. So movement is very when we're talking about lowering cortisol, typically the thing we want to look at is what is movement that's not high intensity. High intensity movement, if you're someone that's in this high state of cortisol all the time, can again add insult to injury because you're adding cortisol on top of cortisol. So again, not a one size fits all. There are times of where high intensity does make sense and times where you can incorporate that. But more so, I want people to look at like, what is the most enjoyable movement to them? What is something that can really bring out the least amount of stress? Sometimes we force ourselves to go to a workout that we hate. And not only is that not sustainable, but that's also something that naturally is going to create a stress response before you're even doing the workout. So find that thing that really kind of makes sense to you that can, whether it's dance, whether it's, you know, yoga and Tai Chi are kind of historically those things that are really nice for people that have high cortisol because it is movement, but it's movement tied to this deep breath. Movement that's tied to something that creates more of a calming sensation in the body. So those things are pretty ideal for people that have a hard time getting into this relaxation mode. Resistance training is also a really nice thing in some ways because normally when you have high cortisol, a lot of this muscle wasting starts to happen. So anything that can support that muscle is going to be really impactful for being able to kind of bounce back and get moving as well. So that kind of movement, I think, is going to be really important. It's just kind of overall finding enjoyable movement, looking at things that are going to be resistance training, also with this kind of calming element. The other kind of thing I wanted to touch on there too is just the timing of the day that you're doing this movement. If you are someone that's probably really wired at night, doing workouts at night and then finding that you're having a hard time falling asleep, maybe switch it to a different time of the day because that's, again, movement at night might increase your cortisol a bit. And so timing of the day is really important and figuring out when the best kind of movement to do and things of that nature. I think that just looking into that, seeing, am I having trouble falling asleep? Am I having trouble waking up? Kind of placing that movement in certain times of the day can really make an impact as well. Other kind of movement that I think is truly powerful is just walking, walking uphill, walking outside. Getting outdoors is one of the most impactful thing you can do to kind of lower your stress response. It's been proven in studies across the board that just kind of 5 minutes in nature and just getting out there is going to naturally lower your cortisol levels and your stress response. Another thing it does is it just gets you out of that environment that you might be stressed out in. So if work is stressing you out, just taking 5 minutes to switch that environment and go outdoors can be a game changer for your mood and how you're able to process your thoughts, which again is what can kind of contribute to that higher cortisol. The other thing is sleep. So sleep is probably arguably one of the most important things. If you're not getting a good quality sleep, then you're already kind of starting off on a hard place to start from in the morning. So really looking at first, what is my routine before bed? Am I able to shut off some of these racing thoughts? Am I able to like let go and release? This might be a good time to do some meditation if you're someone that does meditation, or find that thing that relaxes you. Typically, turning on blue lights is, or like watching TV or being in front of a computer is not always the best thing. But if you can find something like reading a book or taking a bath, things of that nature that can really kind of calm that stress response and allow you to let go. Journaling is very powerful here if you're someone that, again, is running through all the things that you should have done that day. Being able to just write down, release, let it go is something that can kind of help shut that brain off to where we're able to go into more of a relaxation mode. To kind of piggyback on that, another thing that's just super powerful is deep breath. And I know that that sounds so simplistic, but it's the easiest thing we can do from a physical standpoint to calm the body out of that stress response. Because like we talked about earlier, not only is it the thoughts that are creating a stress response, it's also what's happening physically in the body. So there's the vagus nerve that lies at the bottom of your gut that the deep breath can trigger. And that's like that highway signal to the brain to tell us to shut off that cortisol production. So this short, shallow breathing that we adapt to as we age is something that triggers this ability in the body to go into that sympathetic fight or flight response. So the more we can kind of engage in that deep belly breath is going to physically tell our brain to kind of shut off that cortisol production and be able to kind of go in more into this parasympathetic rest and digest mode. So there's also kind of a slew of things that you can do to engage in that parasympathetic system and trigger that vagus nerve. So again, deep breath is one of them. We won't go into all of them today. But the other kind of tool that is my favorite is vibration to the gut. I know that sounds kind of crazy too, but even like getting a vibration heating pad, that's a good tool to kind of do before bed to, again, trigger that vagus nerve because it directly stimulates it to tell your brain to shut off that cortisol. So vibration gets that body moving. So it signals to your body like, hey, I'm doing something about the anxiety. And so it can kind of calm down that anxious thought that we have before bed and shut off a little bit of that rumination. So that's another one of my favorite ways to kind of get out of or get into a parasympathetic state. This is where you hear, maybe have heard before, like the humming and singing can also be very therapeutic to that vagus nerve. So those are some ways to get into that parasympathetic state. In general, like getting good quality sleep by also setting that circadian rhythm up for success by getting morning sunlight is going to be very important too. So first thing in the morning, if you can set your set up the day with some kind of positivity, some gratitude, let me get some morning sunlight. Morning sunlight creates that, stimulates that visual capacity, which again, tells the brain to kind of set that circadian rhythm and that clock. It ignites it. There's a lot of science behind that as well. So the more you can kind of wake up and be able to kind of step outside and get that morning sunlight and expose to that is going to do wonders for setting that circadian rhythm so your melatonin can be on par at night. All those things are going to kind of naturally help with lowering that cortisol and kind of keeping you at baseline. So those are some kind of tools and tips that I had to kind of support just naturally your ability to kind of do that tool bank, so to speak, to really repair you from those reserves, from that adrenal fatigue. And I think that if you have those kind of foundational elements put in place, it's going to help with your stress resilience, which is your body's ability to counteract that stress, to be able to tolerate that stress so that one little thing is not sending you over the edge or keeping you in that chronic state of cortisol, but that you're able to kind of go up and down. Because the parasympathetic and sympathetic systems both have power, and it's just a matter of balancing it out and being able to kind of go back and forth between the two that sets you up for success. And typically people have a harder time going into that parasympathetic state, that rest and digest. So really focusing on those elements is really powerful for people. Keep in mind, sleep is also when your body is resting, repairing, and detoxing itself. So that's another way when you're able to kind of go through that full night's sleep, it sets you up for success with being able to kind of counteract stress the next day. So now I'll kind of cover a little bit of some supplements. Again, these are general recommendations. Depending on like what stage you're in and symptoms and testing, then there might be different things recommended. But as far as kind of general things, naturally, magnesiums, B's and C's are going to be those foundational element to really support your adrenals when they're stressed. The pack I created was giving you a little bit of a B vitamin. It's also going to give you magnesium. Magnesium is probably one of the number one things that we're all deficient in. And it's going to be your relaxation mineral. So when you think about getting a good quality sleep and battling stress, energy production, magnesium is used in over 300 processes in the body. So it's really important to give your body back that nutrient in order to be able to relax and be able to calm. B vitamins, really great for stress resilience, energy production, also just general nervous system support. There's also a product in there called cortisol. What that does is it has some ashwagandha in there and it has some L-theanine. So it has some adaptogen herbs. And what adaptogen herbs are is they really help your body's ability to bounce back from stress. So cortisol as a whole is going to really help with lowering and raising cortisol depending on what your particular needs are. There's also going to be some L-theanine in there. L-theanine is really powerful for calming anxious thoughts. It works on that GABA pathway in the brain, which is your calming neurotransmitter. So L-theanine, typically when you have high cortisol, naturally because you're viewing the world as a threat at that point, because you're in that survival mode, then anxiety does increase. So anything that can kind of help with anxiety is going to be powerful as well. It does have some magnolia bark in there, which is, again, going to help with lowering that cortisol to be able to rest and get some sleep. So yeah, that has those things in there, really powerful nutrients to kind of help calming your stress response. If anyone is interested in that, they are a pack that we put together. So it's done in AM and PM dose packs, so just 30-day supply. So it's real easy to just kind of dose whenever you need to. And so if you are interested, all you have to do is direct message us your email, and we'll go ahead and send you the link to be able to get that pack at a discounted price. It's going to be the stress support pack. So if you don't know where to start, then that is a good kind of baseline place to start to be able to kind of give yourself your body nutrients to be able to battle this stress response. And I will hand it back over to Jennifer to be able to kind of tell you what programs we are offering to assist you a little bit further.
So lots of good information, lots of great tools. That's always going to be where we start to lay that foundation. So I encourage you all to try some of those things, slowly add them in. If you find that this is just not working for you, you're not having success, either you need more intense coaching or you've tried everything and you're still just not feeling your best, we're here for that. So we have a functional medicine program where we help you implement a lot of these things. And sometimes we just need to look deeper. Like, there might be a reason that your cortisol is elevated outside of stressors and lifestyle. You could have toxin exposure, leaky gut, all kinds of different things can contribute to this elevated cortisol. So if you want to dive deeper into that with us, we are launching a functional medicine membership, and we'll put some more information out about that here shortly. So, you know, keep that in mind. If you have any questions or need, you know, anything further from this talk today, just shoot us a message. Either Kelly or I will respond. Also, we wanted to ask all of you guys what you want to hear next, right? Because we're going to continue doing this podcast series, hopefully every 2 weeks. So send us your recommendations, and we would love to cover, you know, anything that's trending, anything that you guys are interested in learning about in the wellness, functional medicine, holistic world. So, well, we are going to hop off. If you guys have questions or anything, just reach us in our direct messages, and we're always available.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.